The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, James and Betty Robison challenge Christians to examine whether the body of Christ is fulfilling the Great Commission.
That our viewers will understand we have a call of God on our lives right now. But we feel we were born for this day, so were you. Betty, let me tell you what's happened to me. He just building patience in me.
The Great Omission from the Great Commission, next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are talking about the Great Omission. Now, you've heard a lot about the Great Commission. Well, we're talking about the Great Omission from the Great Commission. We're to go into all the world and make disciples. We've gone into all the world. We've even preached. We are supposed to preach because how shall they believe unless they hear? And how do they hear without a preacher? And the bottom line in sending preachers is how shall they go without being sent? Which, you know, when you were talking in the first part of this time we're sharing on the Great Omission, you talked about how important each individual is.
Yes.
And many times you will look and you'll see a teacher or a preacher and you think they're more important in the kingdom. I don't care if you love listening to Beth Moore or you love listening to Joyce Meyer or you like listening to some of the other preachers throughout the years. Just remember this, however much you appreciate them, however important they are to you, they couldn't do what they do if someone didn't send them. They have to be enabled to go. So the bottom line, even in preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth and leading to the possibility of making disciples, is still dependent on the lowest common denominator, on sometimes the least likely to be seen in their participation, and that is the one who supports the proclamation of the gospel, the sender. Not just the preacher, but the one who sins. And so I hope all of you understand, and I really pray that you do. I sometimes I literally wish that I could just be holding your hand and say, am I getting through? Do you understand this? There is no way we can do any of the things you see that you believe are important without you. And one of the things that I'm praying right now as we're talking about this Great Omission, failing to do what Jesus said do beyond preaching. He said, make disciples. Disciples of Christ, not like us, but like Him. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, not some of them, not pick and choose, but all of them. Now, if we're going to do that, then we're going to have leaders and preachers who understand the importance of teaching all things. And one of the things that God's put on my heart, and I want all of you who watch, and you see the things we do to feed the hungry, to care for those who've been caught in the sex trafficking and give them a hopeful future, to drill fresh water wells where people are dying of contaminated water, and then share the love that prompted the expressions of compassion. You like all of that. But what I'm praying, and Betty, I've never prayed more fervently about anything, that our viewers will understand we have a call of God on our lives right now. I mean, at this point in our lives, and we've been married nearly 50 years, so we've been on planet Earth a while, but we feel we were born for this day, so were you. Many of you are saying, well, we need Jesus to come back. Listen, Jesus will not come back until the church is adorned in His glory. You can talk about all the chaos and the calamity and the crisis and all the catastrophic things happening all over the world. Oh, I wish you'd come get us out of here. Get rid of that escapist mentality. A disciple of Jesus Christ lives in the shelter and shadow of the Almighty. We live with the Lord as our shepherd. We fear no evil because He's with us. He prepares a table of provision and care before us in the presence of all the enemies and accusers. We live as a light piercing the darkness. We don't live with an escapist, fire escape, get me out of here mentality. The church must receive the fullness of the glory of God. Has nothing to do with how many, how big, but how big God is in the yielded family. And I want to tell you something. This family that comes together, baby, it's going to be across denominational and sectarian lines because God lifts us above those barriers. And in His presence, we're going to be the city set on a hill. We're going to begin to look like Him. Now, what God is impressing us to do that's just as important as drilling a water well or feeding the hungry is to get truth that liberates people, that inspires them to become disciples of Jesus Christ, to be serious about everything He said, and to release this river of life. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus started, after he had made the announcement that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the presence of God is right here, right now. It's not waiting till you go to heaven. Get the power of God's presence by living in his presence right now. Betty, he makes an incredible statement in the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm telling you, we had best get this. Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, this righteousness applies not only to being born again to be able to go to heaven ultimately, because he's talking about being born from above. You can only go to heaven if you've been born from above, if you've had a spiritual birth. And Jesus said this to the most religious person he ever had a direct discussion with, Nicodemus. Don't be amazed when I tell you you've got to be born again or you can't enter heaven. He not only is talking about going to heaven because you don't get saved by works of righteousness which you have done, but by his grace and his mercy, because we're redeemed not with money, silver, or gold, but the precious blood of the Lamb. We do not earn our salvation by our righteousness. So we get to heaven by being born from above. You're born of grace, and this grace is transforming grace. It is not only liberating, life-giving grace, but it is transforming grace. And by the way, the grace of God that redeems us is the grace that continues to transform us. And I've got to say this directly to you. If you do not have a desire within to bear the fruit of the kingdom, to want to live in this life as an overcomer, not overcome, you have every legitimate reason to question your religious experience. Because if you have been born from above and you've been born of grace, you have a desire to please your Father in heaven. You don't just stop and think, I got a ticket to heaven. You are not satisfied with just being a member of a local congregation. Some of the meanest people on planet Earth go to churches on weekends. They've got a religious label, but they're as mean as a snake. And the Pharisees were among those people that had this mean spirit. Jesus said to the Pharisees, here's the interesting thing about them. They kept all the rules. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, they kept the rules. Jesus is not giving us another set of rules. He's giving us a divine enabling for the Word of God, for the truth of God, for the law of God to be written in our hearts, to become a part of our lives. And I wrote an article called Spiritual Gravity. I've written articles on God's kingdom recently. By the way, if you've not gone to jamesrobinson.net, or you can go to lifetoday.org and see from the desk of James. But if you went on jamesrobinson.net, you would see where I wrote on spiritual gravity. And I talked about the power and presence of spiritual weight, keeping things in place. And I hope you'll begin to follow what I'm writing week after week, a lot of times dealing with current issues, and forward them to others who will begin to pray. Pray that we literally become the family of God in fellowship with the Father, living in kingdom presence, in spiritual gravity. What I came to realize, Betty, is that the Holy Spirit in us, who Jesus said he sent to guide us to truth, that the Holy Spirit who convicts us, convicts the world of sin, of judgment, of righteousness, that this Holy Spirit who will show me this is not right, it's like he blows the whistle. One time I said to you, the Holy Spirit gets a lot of rest when you're around me because you correct me and you point out, James, that's not right. And I said, well, boy, the Holy Spirit can be quiet. And you said to me one time, well, he's been telling you all this stuff and you weren't listening to him, so I thought I'd tell you. And the Lord made me laugh because it was like he told me the Holy Spirit had blown the ball out in his whistle. He'd been blowing it at me and it was not making any noise anymore because I was ignoring it. And so Betty would remind me, the Holy Spirit does correct, he does comfort, and he will teach us how to walk. But here's what I've learned about the importance of kingdom gravity, kingdom weight. When you get up, understanding that you're living in the atmosphere of God's presence and that your attitude is so transformed by this presence that it changes things around you, this is what happened to me. I realized that when I obey him, just obey him, I do what he says, suddenly his truth is becoming a part of who I am. For instance, when Jesus was on the cross and he looked out at the people who had driven the spikes in his hands and spit in his face, had twisted his beard, those who had crucified him and waiting for him to die, Jesus looked out and said, "Father, forgive them." You say, well, how amazing, how supernatural was that? He could do no other. That's who the Father is. God is merciful and forgiving. And when we allow that kingdom presence to so impact us, to make such a heavenly imprint on us, forgiveness is a natural. I've been misrepresented. I've been accused. I've been accused when it was false, and I've been accused when it was right. But the intention of the accuser was to hurt me. And I don't even have to stop and think. I know I ought to forgive them. I know I should. I was wrong. I ought to forgive them. I don't even go through that process now. You say, well, what are you telling me? I'm telling you that kingdom presence has worked the reality of being a forgiver in me because the great forgiver lives in me. A root of bitterness will not spring up. I must not let it spring up. That's what the Holy Spirit says. That's what the Word says, because many will be defiled. I mean, I'm just telling you that this has happened. It's happened. And Betty, in some of these areas where the Holy Spirit has given me patience, because I've always said, don't ever get behind me in a fast food line because it'll suddenly become the slowest moving line you ever got in. I mean, I'm telling you, I have no patience. Holy Spirit gives me some patience by reminding me, come on, I need to calm down. But Betty, let me tell you what's happening to me. He's just building patience in me. Kingdom presence. This is, Betty, this is the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees that enables us to live on earth in kingdom presence. And by the way, you don't get there overnight. You are literally plowing toward the standard. You are plowing straight toward Jesus. And by the way, Betty, when we fail, we don't move the standard. You know, a lot of people are just waiting to find fault with preachers. A lot of people are hearing me talk about God's kingdom in shaped in me. You're going to be watching. I'll watch to see when he misses it. All right, show me. Because if I miss the standard, I promise you, we must not move the standard. We must get back to the standard. We don't bring the standard down to our level of life. We don't become fools while professing we're wise. Like Romans 1 says, we change the truth of God into a lie. You don't do that. When you miss the mark by not glorifying God as God, we got to get back to glorifying God as God. We never move the standard. But when the standard, and we miss it, and it's this point of correction, and we find we're weak and struggling, many times, Betty, we have to bring other people into our circle of trust and confess our sins and our failures and the fact we missed the standard so that together we can gain the strength to keep up with the standard. This is the way the church is supposed to operate. This is the way the kingdom of God and the disciples who are following Christ are supposed to impact the whole community, to impact everything on earth. Now, when you listen to me talking about this kingdom presence and power, and you're living with me, and you could say to everybody, well, boy, he really needs a lot of help. Pray a whole lot for him. He's not making very good progress. But you are seeing the sincerity and the excitement. I get up, and it's just like I live in an aura of glory from the weight of God, and every day we're learning, and we're learning together. And I'm going to ask you, do you see me making progress, and do you see what I'm talking about when I move from the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the correction of the Holy Spirit to this heavenly weight of the kingdom presence, living in his presence, in the presence? Do you see things changing in this man you've been around for 50 years?
Absolutely, James. And what I hear you saying is we have to make a choice that we're going to allow God's presence in the present. That doesn't mean that we're not going to fall, because we're imperfect. This is an imperfect world we live in. And I've been so blessed as I've seen God work it in both of our lives. We haven't arrived. We're on the journey. But when we fall, realizing that God is right there to lift us up, if we will yield our hearts and say, God, I want you to change this in my life. What I've seen, what you've shown me, how you've corrected me, I want to change. And I want you to be ever present in my daily life, in my walk on this earth and in my journey. I want it to be my footprints stepping into your footprints. And I want it to be the same, James. I want His Spirit to carry me as I know I do. And I see God doing that in your life.
You know, we've talked about over the years the importance of understanding the river of God's grace and His power. And the Old Testament prophet said, we want rivers not to wade in or get out in just a little bit, but river that's flowing so freely it carries us. That's what kingdom power and glory is. Betty, Jack Taylor's wrote the best-selling book among Southern Baptists. I think maybe Beth Moore, maybe some others have sold more than Jack Taylor sold years ago when he wrote on the key to triumphant living. And as a Baptist, he began to talk about the importance of the fullness of the Spirit and how a lot of believers have inappropriately been frightened of the Holy Spirit. And even Baptists would be the first to admit that because of some extremes or excesses. Pentecostals would admit that. Charismatics would admit it. The excesses and extremes have caused people to be frightened of the Holy Spirit. But when Jack talked about being caught up by the Spirit, he wrote in that key to a triumphant living that's being republished, some thoughts about a river. And I've said this to you if you've watched us over the years. Jesus said there's a river in you that's to flow freely from you. And everywhere the release of that river goes, life springs up. Release the river. Move into the river of God's love that carries you. Not that you have control over, but controls you. And begin to let kingdom weight and presence shape, transform you through the renewing of your mind because you have, as Paul said, presented your body a living sacrifice. And the world no longer shapes you, God does. Listen to what Jack Taylor said about the river. How marvelous is the river? Let's observe some of the qualities of a river. A river is involuntary. It doesn't have to try. A river is unselfish and available to all wherever it goes. A river is a picture of confidence and power that doesn't merely babble like a brook. A river is consistent and keeps on keeping on. You never have to prod it. I might add, it releases what it receives to the benefit of all who will receive it. All receptive ground receives the benefit of the river. This is kingdom living. A river is a picture of constant cleansing. Cast pollution in it, and it will sweep it away. A river is a symbol of courage. Put obstacles in front of it, it will overwhelm them. A river speaks of power. It runs factories, turns on lights, and produces energy all over the country. You don't have to plead with a river to flow. Betty, this is what you and I are seeking to do when we talk about the great omission from the Great Commission, about becoming disciples by living with the full awareness that the kingdom of heaven, not get out of here and go to heaven, but the kingdom power and presence of Almighty God is here right now. And we can live under the weight and the glory and the influence of that. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Weight of Glory. And in it, he was talking about the love for the glory even that's to come and the weight and the influence of that hope. That glory just lifts our spirits. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, not merely the hope of going into glory, but Christ in us, the reality and the hope of His glory, His presence on us, in us, right now, in the here and now, in you. His righteousness being shaped in you so that people can see Christ living in us, the hope of revealing the glory to come and the glory that has come. Father, grant the prayer of Jesus that we be one with the Father, that we join together praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth in us as it is in heaven. Everyone listening, in Jesus' name, your prayers, your friendship, listen to me, your support, I pray you understand how important you keeping us doing at this moment what God's called us to do, meeting needs through the outreaches of life, feeding the hungry, drilling freshwater wells, doing what love does. You enabling us to not just care, but the ability to share, but also to be able to share what God's put on our heart, to say to the leadership of the church, we must come together in oneness with the Father and not allow our distinctives and our differences to keep us from holy, spiritual, supernatural unity in the family of God. He's bigger than our differences. Our differences can hone us and make us sharper. I've never needed your prayers in the place God's put us now to seek to inspire the greatest coming together in the presence of the Father, in the shelter of the Almighty, like we do now. I'm asking you to pray for us, to stand with us, to support us. I mean, make standing with us a regular part of your life right now on planet Earth. We depend upon your prayers and your help. We'll give you an opportunity even now to do something very specific. And I'm asking you to stand with us faithfully, consistently, and understand that helping you and giving you water and giving you nourishment is just as important as feeding the hungry or giving fresh water to the thirsty. And bringing spiritual leaders together to get the church, the family of God, healthy so that we can fulfill the commission of Christ. We must have your help to do it. Stand with us. And here is an opportunity in a very specific way right now that you can take joy in becoming a miracle for a tremendous number of people. Watch closely. I don't want any more to die that we can help. I know there may be some we can't get to. But would you help us give fresh water to 10 precious children and their families? To 20 or 30? Would you help us drill a freshwater well? We're committed with your help to drill 415 in 15 nations. Betty, we've been spending more time teaching and sharing, just like today. And I think, well, we're trying to pour the life and love of God into our viewers. Have we taken away from the time necessary to explain how critically important that water is? Dear God, I hope not. I pray you'll get up right now and go and get your bank card or get your checkbook or go online, lifetoday.org. Take your bank card and just say, I want to help you drill a well. $48, we can give 10 people water the rest of their life. Could you make that gift or write a check and put it in the mail? $144, 30 people water the rest of their life. Betty, we've found great joy in giving a water well. Many of our viewers say it's the highlight of their year. $4,800 will give a well. $1,200, three people join you. Pray those three people will join you if you give $1,200. $2,400, pray somebody will join you. But if you can give a well, do it. Betty, it's a tremendous joy to...
It really is, James. And you and I will do it again because we know how important it is for life for these children. They're going to get the water wherever they can find it. Let's give them a choice. Let's do the water well so they'll have a choice to go to safe water. Let's give these mothers a choice to offer their babies that they love so very, very much. You say, how could they give them that water? That's all they have. They have to have the water. So let's give them the water well so that those mothers can give their babies the nourishment that they need to survive.
if you'll simply dial the number, you can be an answer to the prayers and heart cry of those precious people. And what Betty said, please, we want to send you some wonderful gifts to bless you. We'll gladly send you the teaching this week on the Great Omission from the Great Commission. Really living in kingdom presence now and understanding it. CD or DVD, just ask for it. But we have other gifts to just bless you as you give the great gift of life. Please dial that number. Make the best gift you can. Put it on your bank card, or you can go online, lifetoday.org. Thank you so much for not turning away, for reaching out and helping us share life.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, if you can possibly help us drill a well or give $1,200 or more toward it, we want to send you the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze. It's just a beautiful expression, and it's really an expression of kingdom life. But whatever you can do, thank you. And do ask for the teaching series, The Great Omission. Let's invite people into the abiding, manifest presence of God as a family. Thank you so much for letting us share. Tell your friends to join Life Today. Every day.
This is a whole lot of book right here. Everybody say a lot of Bible. This is right here is a lot of Bible. He's got
prayer and believing God. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.